Neighborhood Voice explores community issues through the lens of local residents. We've spent time talking with entrepreneurs about their experiences running small businesses and how they've adapted during the pandemic. Now we're getting local perspectives on COVID-19, the vaccine, and barriers to accessing it. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer, and this week I'm joined by Vanessa Fernandez from HealthLink. Thank you for joining me, Vanessa.
Thank you for having me, Erica.
So as a healthcare provider, I know you all are doing a lot to promote the vaccine and to administer it and distribute information. Can you talk about some of those activities that you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. We're offering the vaccine at our clinics. Walk-ins are accepted. We do have, you know, depending on inventory and stock that we have, but we're offering J&J, Moderna for adults. We also have Pfizer availability. We've offered pop-up clinics where we go out into the community and, you know, have walk-ins come in, and if they're interested in getting the vaccine or if they have questions about the vaccine, we're there to support. We've gone to schools, churches, different organizations such as the Salvation Army. So a little bit of everything.
Now, you mentioned you have three different, the J&J, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and Pfizer. Can you talk about some of the differences and who can receive which, or, you know, what are some of the major differences? You don't have to go into too many specifics.
J&J is one dose, and currently J&J is approved for those 18 and older. Moderna and Pfizer are two-dose series of vaccines, and Moderna is available for those 18 and older. Pfizer is actually available for those 12 and older.
Okay, so Pfizer is the only one for those 12 and older.
At this moment, yes.
Okay. And how many Hoosiers have you seen at the 12 and older age coming through? Or have you seen a lot of people coming? Or is there some hesitancy with parents?
Yeah. We just started vaccinating with Pfizer. We received it, I want to say, a couple months ago. And we are starting to see an increase in the younger crowd interested in the vaccine. We've been able to offer it at my clinic to about 120 or so of those that fall in that age range. But again, we've only had it for a short time.
And you mentioned some of the places that you're doing outreach at, churches, high schools, some community events. Are there any community events coming up or that you're currently involved in that people could find a vaccine site at?
So actually we do. Tomorrow we'll be at East Chicago Fitness Center behind Central High School. We have our men's health event, and we'll be offering J&J there. We are also partnering with Lake County Eats, and we'll be hosting a variety of farmers markets every other Tuesday and some Saturdays beginning in July. We'll be offering vaccines on those Tuesdays. And throughout, we partner a lot. As I'm getting more requests from different community organizations, we find ways to accommodate. So if there's an employer or an organization that's interested in having us come out to them and vaccinate their employees or congregation, if they contact us, we can find a way to set that up.
Oh, well, that's great, especially for the larger employers who, you know, don't want to send all their employees out maybe to different sites to get vaccines, that they could just set something up on site with you and they would contact you to do that.
Yeah, and we would come on site depending on the size of those interested. It would depend how many staff members we bring. But generally, I've been bringing about 3 clinical staff members, 2 admin, and we get the ball rolling and getting their employees vaccinated.
So one thing that I read, there was an article that came out recently that sadly showed that I don't think any of our Lake County communities or Porter or LaPorte have reached kind of that 70% benchmark that was a goal nationally. So what do you think, or what have you heard, are some of the barriers that might be keeping people from getting it?
We've actually heard a few different points from community members. Some just want more time to think about it, information. They're playing the waiting game almost. Mm-hmm. They want to wait and see what happens. There's just so many ideas, conspiracies about what the vaccine is really about, what is in the vaccine. So one of the barriers that we feel is the misinformation about the vaccine in general. Sure. And another one is transportation, getting the, that's why we go to these pop-up events. Like we've set up a shop at a park where they don't have to get in their car and drive to our clinic. We're there walking distance.
And as much as we wish COVID would just go away, it is still around, and we're seeing variants come up now. So are you still doing testing for COVID, and what, I guess, how many tests are you administering now?
We are. Obviously, since the pandemic is where it is now, the demand for testing has decreased. Mm-hmm. But we've currently average about 30 to 40 tests a week. Our testing vaccine drive-through days, we've reduced to one day a week, and it's Tuesdays now. But if someone calls and they request a test, we find a way to accommodate them as long as we're able to.
So I'd like to talk more generally about the services that you offer. Now, you have multiple locations. Can you talk about the different locations?
Sure. HealthLink is throughout Northwest Indiana. In East Chicago, we have the one on Chicago Avenue. And very soon, we'll have the one that's opening up in Harbor Square. That'll be off of Broadway and Alder. So then we have the Valparaiso Clinic. We also have a Porter Stark Clinic, Michigan City, Knox, Mishawaka, South Bend, IUSB, Centennial, Southeast. These are all in the South Bend region. We have a Knox Clinic. And we also have a mobile unit that goes around in our communities that's able to offer different types of appointments. So we're throughout Northwest Indiana, trying to, you know, meet the need of our patients.
And you're considered a federally qualified health clinic, right? Can you explain what that means?
Correct. We are a federally qualified health center. This means that we're here to serve our community regardless of their ability to pay. So if a patient has insurance, we work with most insurances. If they do not have insurance, we have what's called a sliding fee scale, and it's based off of the family size and income.
And so what other services do you provide? I know it's not just around COVID, even though that's what we're talking about today, COVID and the vaccine. But what other services could people get if they came to one of the centers?
So mostly primary care. At my clinic, for example, we have internal medicine and family practice. We have pediatrics, dental services. The Valpo Clinic offers the similar services and optometry. Very soon we'll also offer optometry, but mainly primary care, dental, optometry. We have behavioral health services for our patients. And then we offer so much more than just primary care. We really focus on the whole person and identifying ways for them to meet them where they're at. So in addition to our services that we have our support staff, our clinical pharmacists that help our patients with our 340B program, which is a discounted prescriptions. We have our care team nurses, which help with providing a lot of the education for diabetic patients. Our community health worker, which helps our patients map through different resources that they may need: food, shelter, transportation, employment, English as a second language. So we really focus on the whole person, and of course our behavioral health services.
Yeah, and I know that English not being your native language could be such a barrier to accessing healthcare in any case. So it's nice to know that you offer, you know, English as a second language kind of services. And if someone was coming in and they didn't speak a lot of English, and English wasn't their native language, that there's an opportunity for them to receive care and be understood when they come in.
Yeah, we have a lot of our staff. We look for bilingual staff members because especially in East Chicago, that demand is there. But outside of staff actually being able to translate or interpret, we have various resources that we use. There's nothing like going to a doctor that you can't understand. So being able to have that conversation and feel comfortable in your native language to speak. And if you want to learn to speak English, someone there that can help you to find a resource to get you there.
So with all of those services that you mentioned providing, I'm sure that in 2020 you saw some of those shift in either increase or decrease in demand. Can you talk about what maybe some of the needs that you saw increase or decrease as a result of COVID?
As a result of COVID, our dental was hit probably the hardest because, you know, dental, it's an open area. It involves your nose and or your mouth and, you know, you're in the way we approached dental during COVID changed. We had to change a lot of protocols in order to get us to the place where we are now when it came to dental services. At this point, we are able to provide dental services as we were before because we've made those changes. But in general, when COVID first hit, you know, we have to change our protocols when it comes to infection control. So it seemed like everything started occurring so fast. We changed our policies, our procedures. We do have a safety plan that we started to put into place. But because of COVID, some additional services and programs came out of that. Our virtual care program, for example, this involves a telemedicine visit. We provide the patient with a kit that we received from the state of Indiana. It included a blood pressure cuff, a thermometer, pulse oximeter. I'm missing something, but I can't remember. Sorry. Different devices that we were able to give to the patient. They were able to monitor their vitals from home and connect with the provider during the telemedicine visit and report, this is my blood pressure, without having to actually come into the clinic.
Yeah, and that seems like something that could be useful even going forward. I know one of the barriers that we talked about was transportation. And so if you can't get to your doctor regularly, you know, you have that kit that can, you know, help you check your vitals and communicate with your doctor or nurse
about that. And that's actually one of the programs that hopefully we look to expand even after COVID. We look for getting the appointments to the patients that need it. If you're not able to get to our clinic due to transportation, or maybe you're at work and you have a tight schedule and you can't leave your employment during your half-hour break, connect with your provider through telemedicine. So there's a variety of ways that we'll be using telemedicine, the virtual care program, and other programs we've been able to put in place.
So now are you seeing a demand for some of those services that were maybe kind of put on hold during the year increase? I've been looking for a doctor, and I swear the wait times are out, you know, to December for some physicians. So have you seen that with some of your doctors as well?
We have. For dental, we've increased the number of patients that are coming in. You know, during the whole year, people delayed their dental care, so we're getting more dental patients. Also for our regular appointments, fortunately, as a FQHC and a patient-centered medical home, we do try to keep some appointments available for our patients to be able to come in, and we do have access currently, but we're starting to see demand pick up.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Is there any other information you'd like to share about the services that HealthLink provides?
At HealthLink, our mission is to create healthy communities, and we do so in a variety of different ways. We meet the patients where they're at, and we're strongly encouraging our patients to learn about the options available that HealthLink has to offer. If they have concerns about the vaccine, talk to their medical provider, give us a call. We strongly feel that every vaccine, every shot we give is a potential life saved.
Certainly.
So we're here for the community.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing information about the vaccine, helping people access it in a safe and easier way, hopefully.
Well, thank you for having me. It's really great.
Thank you for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. You can visit ourshot219.com for information about local COVID-19 resources in Northwest Indiana. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana.